Yeah, I was like, time to take in slop from the NFL gods. Time to slurp it up. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker Kelly. Mike, still not available, but he was able to get some questions in this week. But Walker, we are in the afterglow of Nick Sirianni getting embarrassed on national television. How are we feeling about that?
I mean, that's good.
The team that did the embarrassing is not good.
Oh.
But you were famously rooting for Nick Sirianni this week. So
yeah, I didn't watch the game, though, to be fair.
Did you and Big Dom have a conversation about this?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Big Dom is?
Yes, I do know who that is. I'm okay. Doing a bit. Jesus.
Okay.
I know who Big Dom is. I'm pissed off that I have to know who Big Dom is.
Yeah. I really need the Eagles to make two annoying Italians irrelevant to my brain. Big Dom and Nick Sirianni. Please get them out of my brain.
Yeah, Big Dom and Big Sub. Am I right?
Folks, Big Dom does imply the existence of a big sub. I think we've mentioned that before.
Yeah, a big Italian sub. And I would like to eat it.
Big Italian Dom. Big Italian Dom. Oh, all right. So we had Thanksgiving. We ate a lot. We watched a lot of football. We're going to talk about some of the football. Let's talk about Walker's boys. Green Bay wins 31-24 over Detroit. They are 8-3-1. Detroit is 7-5. Walker, is there any venting you need to get off your chest? Referee related venting.
I mean, what are you gonna do? It's Detroit versus everybody. We know that, you know.
It's not. I hate Detroit versus everybody.
It is.
Everybody loves the Lions, Walker. You have
no. The referees certainly do not. I'll tell you that much.
You accused Packers of being the NFL's favorite children, and that is patently not true. Gestures to Patrick Mahomes.
No, it's always been the Packers, and it always will be.
Gestures to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes almost got a flag for getting hit out of bounds when he was like 2 yards in bounds this week. They threw the flag. They picked it up. It is the...
Then it doesn't count. It didn't happen.
Oh, my God. The Chiefs are the NFL's favorite children. I'm sorry. It is not the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Anyways, my question for this one was, is this a Christian Watson spike game? And yes, it was. I mentioned the Lions beat up secondary. Christian Watson, this is the peak Christian Watson game. You may not like it, but this is what peak male performance looks like. 4 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Great game. Great game from Christian Watson on 10 targets. Bad game. Terrible game from Christian Watson.
I believe on the previous podcast, I said he was going to have 4 for 90 and a touchdown. So almost nailed it.
Almost nailed it. You did not, however, tell me that Dontavian Wicks was going to have the career, the game of his career. So never right, Walker Kelly.
Hey, I was actually pretty right about Christian Watson. So sometimes we're right, Walker Kelly.
All right, fair enough. We'll take it. Cool. Do you feel anything in your loins about what this might mean for Dontavian Wicks moving forward, or is this just a game? You know, this game's going to happen every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't think that you can trust Dontavian Wicks going forward, no.
Okay. Josh Jacobs looked good at the beginning coming back from his one-game absence, and then I was like, man, Josh Jacobs is the only player that looks good on either team. I was like, oh, all these guys played 100 hours ago except for Josh Jacobs. No wonder he looked so good to start the game. All these guys were, like, in the trenches 4 days ago. Like, in the morning 4 days ago. Like, it's not even a night game where you get the extra 12 hours. So it's just like, man, just an absolute slog for these guys. I always feel bad for them. Also, one of my two apocalyptically bad takes at the beginning of this game when Jordan Love was doing Jordan Love things, I was like, I hope this game breaks the stranglehold that Jordan Love has on Yahoo players because he's rostered in 79% of leagues. Checks notes, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. Romeo Doubs scored a touchdown. So it continues to be, if you had to rank the wide receivers rest of the season on the Packers, you'd go Watson, Doubs, Wicks.
Yep.
Oh, well, I forgot about Jaden Reed. Watson, Reed,
Watson, Wicks. Dobbs. I'd say Watson, Doubs, Reed, Wicks.
Okay. So Doubs has leapfrogged Reed. I think that with Doubs and Watson being healthy downfield, they'll probably use Reed more in like short area stuff. Because they do like to do that with him. So he might get more PPR scammy.
He could become Cheesehead Jacoby Myers.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Yet another Jacoby Myers, just butting off of Jacoby Myers. All right. So that's all there is to talk about the Packers. Let's talk about your big, beautiful boys, the Detroit Lions. Walker, you killed one of the guys.
Oh yeah. My bad. I said our Gibbs and St. Brown, the only Lions to start. Amon-Ra temporarily deceased. He will be back, though. Probably like fantasy playoffs round one. So if you have St. Brown, he probably has led you to the fantasy playoffs at this point. So yeah, when you need him most, he will return. Gibbs was good.
When you saw one set of footprints, that was Amon-Ra St. Brown carrying you to the fantasy playoffs.
That is correct. That is absolutely right. But in Amon-Ra's absence, J-Mo stepped up. He had 10 targets, caught 7 of them for 144 yards and a touchdown. Really, really good. He looked as good as he's looked probably ever.
This is what I hope Dan Campbell learned about this game. This is the lesson that
is that J-Mo's a real receiver.
Here's how to use J-Mo in ways that it won't work. Jet sweeps, pop passes, and 50-50 balls. Here's the way to use J-Mo in ways that will work. Crossing routes between the second and third, or the first and second layer of the zone. Because then he is gone.
Yeah, because like, he's just running across the field like wide open because nobody can keep up with him.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like they're trying to use like everybody who's like, I have fast player. I'm gonna use jet sweep on him. It's like that's a different skill set. That just let him get the ball in space. Don't try to like manufacture these bullshit ass touches behind the line of scrimmage.
Right, bullshit ass touches are for your kick returner type guy.
Yeah, your Chimera DK types.
Well, no, he's better than that, I would say. At least in comparison to the guys that they have available.
Guess who leads the NFL in all-purpose yards, Walker?
Is it Chimera DK?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dog. Woo!
All right, Walker, how much fab are we spending on Checks Notes Tom Kennedy? The lost Kennedy brother?
Extremely funny that TK had, like, what, 4 catches in this game?
Yeah, he was second on the team in catches behind J-Mo.
Really funny. Yeah, no, you don't need to pick up Tom Kennedy.
Okay, that's fair enough. Jahmyr Gibbs had a quote-unquote down game of like 86 yards, so you'll be fine. And Dave Montgomery said, I'm not dead yet, bitches. Scored a touchdown. 48 yards, so.
It was fine.
Yeah, yeah, so Dave Montgomery. And then Jared Goff. The Jared Goff versus Micah Parsons experience did not go well for Jared Goff.
I guess. Sure. Yeah. I mean,
he got exploded by Micah Parsons like 3 times.
I mean, he didn't fumble though, which was pretty impressive.
That's called a small victory.
Yeah, I mean, when you're getting destroyed by a really big, fast guy, I think, you know, you'll take holding onto the ball at that point.
Yeah, but yeah, it was just getting Micah Parsons just getting destroying the Lions offensive line. And how are we feeling about your boy coming back?
Yeah, I mean, that was good news. I mean, pretty hard to feel real great about anything Lions related right now, but that's the one thing that's good. Yeah, is Frank Ragnall's coming back.
Old Frankie Rags. He's making his triumphant return.
I mean, we should still be favored in every game other than the Rams one the rest of the season. So, I mean, we probably won't be at the Bears, even though we beat the Bears by 31 points the first time. So, not really worried about that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the Packers spent the whole offseason figuring out a way to not lose to us again, and they did a good enough job to not lose to us again, so fair enough.
All right, let's move on to the game of the week, the game that nobody in this game is really hated. Two teams both beloved by every fan in the National Football League. The Dallas Cowboys win 31-28 over the Kansas City Chiefs. A game where my mom goes, "Where is Taylor Swift's husband?" It was on the TV. She's like, "Which one is Taylor Swift's husband?" And I was like, "That one." I almost said the guy lined up in the slot. And I was like, "Well, if she calls him Taylor Swift's husband, I don't think she knows what the slot is."
What's the slot?
The slot. All right. Walker, we had a disastrous Thanksgiving and Black Friday, by the way. We went a combined 0-for-8, and Mike went 1-for-4.
Yeah, 1-11 combined on the Thanksgiving and Black Friday games. So, really good performance.
All right. Speaking of good performances, Walker, is Xavier Worthy droppable?
Not. I mean, he had 6 targets, which is fine. Caught 4 of them for 61 yards, which is also fine. I mean, if you didn't drop him before, you're probably not going to be persuaded to drop him now. But if you did drop him, you're probably like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's like technically he had a better week this week than last week because he had 2 more yards than he had last week. So you're like, see, he's going in the right direction.
Yeah, my guy is like, I mean, at this point, he's kind of, is he barbecue Jacoby Myers?
No, I don't think he gets enough. His yardage isn't high enough for that.
And he also doesn't get quite enough targets sometimes.
Yeah. I think he's just not great.
Yeah, he's like fine. Yeah, he's a wide receiver 4.
Also, Walker starting a war because you won't recognize that they're barbecue Jacoby Myers could be in Carolina.
No, I acknowledge that. North Carolina, the vinegar barbecue, that's good stuff.
Good stuff. I concur. All right. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm making a lot of noise. I'm very shifty this episode. Also, Xavier Worthy's target share did go up this week from last week. So it went from 17.4 to 17.6. So definitely something to monitor.
Really good stuff. Yeah. By year 5 in the league, it'll be up to
yeah, it'll be astronomical. If these trends continue, Disco Stew style. All right. Elsewhere on the Chiefs, Rashee Rice had his best career game. Xavier Worthy, we talked about. Travis Kelce continues to just produce. Smash McDoubles is, I forget. Oh, it was Tony Romo calling this game. Said that Travis Kelce still looks athletic. Dog, are you watching Travis Kelce?
No, he don't.
Somehow this man watches. He is on hand for every single Chiefs game and somehow does not know what the Chiefs do, who they are, or how they act. It is incredible how little Tony Romo just takes in about the games that he watches.
He's got nothing going on.
Jim! All right. Kareem Hunt volumed his way to an okay-ish game. Did not score a touchdown, so he was not great. And then Isaiah Pacheco, welcome to the nether realm, buddy. He gone. 5 touches.
Yeah, they just, they don't care about him anymore.
Get ready to learn talking to Breshard Smith on the bench. Jesus. All right. For the Cowboys, it was a start them all situation. And if you started a Dallas Cowboy, you were happy. The worst was Big Ferg at 5 catches for 36 yards, which 8.6 PPR points for a tight end is fine. But Javonte went off. He scored a touchdown. Pickens, 14.8 PPR points. CeeDee Lamb had his best game of the season, 7 for 122 and 1. Dak dropped 320 yards and 2 touchdowns. So
Dak dropped 320 and a deuce.
Oh, man. Speaking of dropping a deuce, should we talk about Baltimore?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's transition into that.
Dang. All right. Cincinnati wins. They're 4-8. They win 32-14. Baltimore 6-6. I have to say, I really appreciate the folks calling this game at the end being like, this is it. This is the moment. The Bengals season turns around. It's like, no, they beat the shit out of a Ravens team that does not have a functional quarterback at the moment.
He is not feeling good.
Oh no, there was so much about Lamar that was, we'll get to that in a second, but Walker, can Joe Burrow pull this off?
He might actually be able to, because it turns out that the Bengals are only 2 games behind in the division.
Oh, and they play God.
A bunch more division games. So, I mean, if they go, they could even conceivably win the division at 8-9. But
yeah,
it's, yeah, they have a chance. Now, he probably still can't pull this off. And honestly, Joe Burrow didn't even really play that well in this game.
No, 24 for 46.
Right. Like, he had 2 for 46 and 2, but, like, yeah, for the most part, he just wasn't quite right, which makes sense, because it's his first game in a while, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincinnati just seemed like they wanted this game a lot more than Baltimore did.
I mean, yeah, that's really what it came down to. And then, did you watch any of the post-game stuff?
No. I saw a highlight of, Joe Burrow was like, what the fuck is a crab?
And yeah. he was like, what's this? And she's like, it's a crab, Joe.
And then she was like, here's some Cincinnati chili. And he was like, no. Like, just shaking his head.
I shan't be doing that.
Yeah, he's just shaking his head back and forth. Like, no, I don't think I'll be indulging in any of that. Yeah.
Like, the whole team was like there, and they were just interviewing players, and they were just like taking full bites of food and then talking. And what, I forget who it was, but one like lineman was like, I'm sorry, I'm spitting while I'm talking. There's just pieces of turkey just like flying out of his mouth. It was,
yeah, and they were incredible. Putting like bones on the plate. Like, yeah. That Laura was holding.
Yeah. It was wild. And then somebody ate one of the crabs. I think it looked like it could have been like the kicker or something. Cause he was a smaller guy. And then she was like, how was it? He was like, it was cold. All right, man, cool. Thanks, man. All right.
Shout out to Evan McPherson for that great insight.
I'm pretty sure it was Evan McPherless. All right. I mean, the Bengals, they turned around. They got their two best players back in this one, Joe Burrow and Mike Gesicki. I know Mike Gesicki played last week. I just had to get that joke in there. But Mike Gesicki didn't really do much, so I'm very sad. Chase Brown. I got the joke of the night off, and I don't know how I did not land on this before, which is, Walker, do you know what nominative determinism is?
Yes.
Chase Brown should be in ICE, folks.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's what my brother-in-law said.
Well, then I guess it's getting the desired reaction.
That's right. All right. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson ain't healthy. My question was, is this really a situation where we bench Lamar? Finished 17 for 32, 246 yards, no touchdowns, a pick, hideous fumble, 6 for 27 rushing. He's not healthy. There's people in Discord are like, is Lamar bad now? It's like, no, he has like 3 or 4 different leg injuries.
Yeah, he's extremely injured. You can see he's not running normal.
Yeah, and he's people not even throwing normal.
No, people are catching him. Like, it's hard for him to get anything into a 40-yard throw. Like, he is very hurt.
Yeah, he is not right. So, it was a situation where we should have benched Lamar Jackson, but that's one of those hindsight 2020 things. Like we said on Tuesday's episode, like, it's one of those things where you kind of have to go down with the ship. Like, the matchup was great. You're just kind of banking that Lamar had gotten a little bit more healthy, but, I mean, I don't know. Probably 4 days after not having a good game because he wasn't healthy, probably didn't work out great. He's got the Steelers next week, then the Bengals again, then the Patriots. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess. But I'm not feeling great about this Steelers matchup here.
The Steelers defense is fine.
Yeah, but it's fine in so much as its strength is the pass rush. So it's like, if Lamar Jackson isn't moving, like, Alex Highsmith and Nick Erbig and J.J. Watt are just going to like live in his lap.
J.J. Watt. I think it's
T.J. Watt. Wrong Watt. Yeah.
Light bulb.
Folks.
When you're looking for that light bulb.
Or the street in Sacramento, folks. Named after the light bulb guy.
What?
There's a whole area of Sacramento that has streets named after inventors.
Actually pretty cool.
My high school was on Edison. And I'm like, he's not an inventor.
He's a plagiarist.
He is a plagiarist. Elsewhere on the Ravens, anything to think about? Derrick Henry slowing down. That one where he broke the, where he broke contain and then he got caught from behind. I was like, prime Derrick Henry scores that one.
Yeah, Miles Murphy caught him.
Yeah. Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews continued to slam against the Cincinnati Bengals' terrible tight end defense. Isaiah Likely slammed the ball into the ground and threw out the back of the end of the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
Zay Flowers has become a victim of Lamar Jackson not being good, and everybody's screaming about Keaton Mitchell. They're like, look at his per touch. It's so incredible. It's yeah, he touches the ball like three times a game. Like,
yeah, and they're all designed bullshit.
Yeah, do you not understand that if this man had to do Derrick Henry things, he would get like 2 yards per carry?
No, but it's the number big, so it must be good.
Rate big times big touch equals big number. Lots of number.
Huge, massive number.
Rate not.
Think of how big number could be.
Yeah, no, Walker.
I don't think you're thinking about how big number could be.
Number could be so big. If every time he touched ball, he get lots. Like when he touched ball few, number could be big. Huge.
It'd be massive.
Man, people just aren't understanding this. All right. We'll talk more about the Ravens next week when we figure out if we're going to, like, I don't know, we might not play Zay Flowers, maybe, in two wide receiver leagues. Who knows?
Yeah, it's probably not.
Probably not. All right, let's talk about Friday afternoon football, that long storied tradition of Friday afternoon football. Chicago Bears went 25-14. They're 9-3. The Eagles are 8-4. Walker refuses to give the Bears one modicum of credit. They ran for 255 yards and two touchdowns, and Walker says they are mid. Walker?
No, are you saying they were good in this game?
In this game, yes.
Okay, well, I agree with that.
Okay, because I said they were actually good in the notes, and you said still mid. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I think they're still mid as a team. Yeah, okay. But they did play well in this game.
Okay. I think the big news in this one for the Bears is Kyle Moaning guy. He's moaning, folks.
He's
led the backfield groaning. In. Go ahead.
Groaning in the end zone.
He is groaning in the end zone. Led the backfield in touches with 22, 130 rushing yards, and a touchdown. DeAndre Swift also 18 for 125 and a touchdown, plus he kicked in some receiving yards. Nobody in the passing game really did much. DJ Moore fell down. That's all I remember from this passing game is Cole Kmet scored a touchdown, DJ Moore fall down. That's literally all I remember from the passing game. So let's talk about Moaning guy. He leads, like, they showed a stat today that he leads all rookies in, like, several, like, EPA per rush, like, rushing yards over expectation, like, all these, like, advanced stats. He's the best rookie running back from a running perspective. How do we feel about Kyle Moaning guy?
I mean, pretty good. I think he's a solid player. He's got a coach who's really good at scheming up the run game, so... and they trust him. So I think you start him going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he has finally become the, like, he doesn't get a ton of carries, but he gets the goal line carries. He's filling that, like, Jamal Williams, David Montgomery role.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has,
I would say the Jamal Williams role is a good comp.
Yeah. I think he gets it. He's like Jamal Williams plus. He's not quite to the David Montgomery level. He's like Jamal Williams plus, because Jamal Williams, like, the Jamal, quote unquote, Jamal Williams role was just like, he's going to get the ball on the goal line and he's going to get like six other touches.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. But, see, this marks the fourth straight game where Moaning guy has scored a touchdown, and the sixth time in his last seven games where he's either scored a touchdown or rushed for Chex Noakes, 176 yards. So, I mean, he's been a RB2 for a couple months now, honestly. So, fire up your Moaning guys. Let's see, who do the Bears play next week? The Packers. Who? Then the Browns and the Packers again.
Well, It's going to be a good test of whether he's actually good.
Yep, we will see. All right, and then on the Eagles side, I said, will Saquon Barkley be good finally? 13 for 56. Didn't catch his two targets. I mean, we talked about it. We were like, so many people were like, I don't believe in, you know, running backs getting a ton of touches and not being good the next year, and despite what the numbers say.
Yeah, Saquon's built different. Well, yeah, he's built different, but he's not built different than all of these other superstars that had the same thing happen to them.
Yeah, it was like that list that I, you know, I made that list in the preseason. It was all superstars.
Exactly. Like, it was like one guy who had, I think it was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, it was like 23-year-old LaDainian Tomlinson was the only one who was better the next year. Yeah.
Right. So, it was like, man, that's an absolute alien. Like,
yeah.
Saquon's damn good, but he's not LaDainian Tomlinson. It's like, I don't know. It just seemed obvious that somebody who got 470-some touches the year before was going to not be very efficient the next year.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense, and I wish I had the cojones to put him outside the top five, but I didn't. I was a coward.
I don't even remember where I had him, to be honest. I'm going to see if I can find that.
Okay, while you're looking for that, A.J. Brown, he had himself a game, 10 for 132 and two touchdowns. Devonta Smith struggled, and Dallas Paydirt is officially Dallas toast. He's just regular Dallas dirt. You land in Texas, you go outside, you grab a scoop full of soil, and that's him. Just Dallas dirt.
I had Saquon at 6.
Oh, Walker with the cojones.
Yeah, but the problem is the guy that I entered into the top 5.
Who was that?
Ashton Jeanty.
Oh! I think I had Jeanty in my top 5.
I had Gibbs, Robinson, Jeanty, Achan, McCaffrey.
Oh, it was Achan that I didn't have.
Yeah.
Because I had
Taylor higher.
Yeah, let's just go back and edit it.
No, I can't do that. Not ethical.
Well, my stuff is, it's not possible to edit because it's locked on Fantasy Pros forever.
Right, okay. Yeah. I could edit mine, but it would say in the edit history when I did that.
Who are you, Chad Ford? Folks.
I do remember that.
That was from the depths pool.
That's an old right one.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk Sunday. We've got, let's see. There's 16 games this week. We've talked 4.
12 more.
12? Okay, 12.
A dozen.
I think, a dozen. And one of them, Baker, might be in. Folks, awesome. All right, let's talk Lars versus Cars. Lars 9-2, Cars 6-6. That's the Rams and the Panthers. Rams 9.5-point favorites, 45.5-point over-under. Here's my bet of the week. Carolina covers, because there is not a team in the league this side of Mike Tomlin's Steelers that plays down to their competition like the Los Angeles Rams. They barely beat Cooper Rush. They barely beat some other team. It's like, brothers. What are we doing here? You guys are the best team in the league, and you just kind of like fart around. All right. And then
they
watch.
Do like fart around sometimes.
Matthew Stafford's going to drop like 6 touchdowns. And I'm going to look stupid. All right. Cameron Kitchens, David Questenberry, and Puna Ford are all questionable for the Rams. Christian Rose, boom. Cade Mays, Chandler Zavala, JC Horn, Claudin Cherlis are all out, as is Trevon Morrig. For punching, Jawan Jennings in the penis. Out. Penis touching. Out. Penis punch. Talk about a peanut punch, folks.
Damn. There we go.
All right. Walker, you wanted to know if the tight end room is too much of a mess for fantasy football purposes.
Right. What do you think, Jeff?
I have Colby Parkinson as my streamer this week.
Wow. Okay. So you're buying into the Parkinson.
Yeah. So the Rams have, over the last like 4 games or so, they've really leaned into the 13 personnel stuff. The one time they didn't was the Seahawks game where they only scored 21 points. And they've been getting a lot of snaps to their tight ends, obviously, because it's 13 personnel. And Parkinson has 4 for 41 in 2 of his last 3 games, and he has scored a touchdown in 3 straight. They, when they're on the goal line, they just run him out into the flat and nobody follows him. They like run the whole offense to one side and he just kind of squirts out in the flat and he's all by himself. So I'm going with Colby Parkinson because what is there? There's the other big Ferg and I don't even know who's the other tight end there.
Davis Allen.
Oh yeah. Davis Allen. Yeah, no, I'm going with Colby Jack Parkinson as the tight end to trust in this room.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the most trustworthy one, but I just personally, I can't trust any of them right now.
I don't know if I could put him higher than like tight end 18 on the week, but he was the guy I would pick if I could.
Okay, yeah, I have Parkinson as the highest ranked one, but I have him at 25.
Okay, yeah, like 18 was just like off the top of my head. I bet if I actually did ranks, he would probably be like lower, but
22 or something like that.
Yeah, like. Would you rather start David Njoku or Colby Parkinson?
Actually, Parkinson.
Yeah, see? Colby Parkinson or like Cade Otton.
Otton.
Even with Teddy Two Gloves potentially playing?
Well, if Teddy plays, no. If Baker plays, yes.
Okay. All right. So that kind of gives you an idea of where he is for me. So. You're starting all the rest of your Rams. Even Kyren Williams is kind of a down with the ship guy. Worst case scenario, he's a low end RB2.
Yeah, he usually comes through at least decent.
Yeah. And Sean McVay's a player's coach. Like Kyren Williams hasn't been going lately, so I'm sure he will try to get him going. Probably. Yeah. And yeah. You start everybody else. Easy peasy. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of players, you start Tetero McMillan and Rico Dudu. Last week, I don't know what they did with Rico Dowdle against the Niners. They were just like, you know what? We won't be using this particular player. I think you can go back to him. And then McMillan, disastrous drop last week, but a pretty touchdown catch. You start him in all your three wide receiver leagues.
Yep, I agree.
Alrighty, so let's go to Niners and we all have the Rams winning, obviously. Let's go to Niners and Browns. Niners are 8-4. Browns are 3-8. Niners 6-point road favorites, 40.5 point over under in this one. Injuries are Tatum Bethune, Sam. See, I only call him Sam O. Sam Okawanu.
Okawanu, yeah.
Yeah, Okawanu.
Something like that.
Eddie Pinero is also out. Eddie De Niro, as folks call him. Brendan Bates is out for the Browns, as is Aiden Huntington. Aiden Huntington is like, we have Hutchinson at home.
It's bizarro world, Aiden Hutchinson.
It's Wario Aiden Hutchinson, which is funny because he plays like Wario. Or no, he plays like Waluigi.
Yes, because Aiden is Waluigi and Aiden Huntington is Wario because he's kind of built like Wario.
Alex Wright is also out and Jerome Ford is questionable. My question is Brock Purdy a disaster start this week? So we all saw Monday Night Football disaster class, 23 for 32, 193 yards, one touchdown, three picks. In the second half, zero picks. Would just like to point out, I don't know. Last time he played Cleveland, it was David also
Lombardi. Jesus Christ.
You know, an underrated part of Jimmy Garoppolo's game is the quarterback sneak. That's my favorite David Lombardi tweet of all time.
Oh, that was so good. He's so in the bag for the team. It's crazy.
It rules. But it's whoever it's mostly just whoever the starting quarterback is at that time.
It's who so he's in funny. The bag for.
Yeah, it rules. It's so all funny. Right.
He's just a 49ers quarterback defender.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, Joshua Dobbs is sneaky better than you think. Of all players with alopecia, he ranks all time.
Josh Dobbs and Charlie Villanueva.
Yeah. Shout out Charlie Villanueva. That's how I learned what alopecia was. Because I was like, what is wrong with that man?
Yeah, Charlie V signed with the Pistons. And I was like, okay, well, I better learn about that instead of being insensitive.
Yeah, because I was just like, something, like, I saw him when he got drafted, and I was like, something's wrong there. I didn't know what it was, but I was like, something's wrong. And then I, like, looked it up, and I was like, oh, okay, he just doesn't have hair. That's fine. All right, anyways, disaster class last week. Disaster class last time he played in Cleveland. 12 for 27, 125 yards, one touchdown, one pick in the rain. This week has a 50% chance of rain, a low of 27 with snow possible, and 20-mile-per-hour winds. Cleveland is 30th in fantasy points allowed to quarterback. And over the last 4 weeks, we all know what Myles Garrett has been doing, but it has been so good that he has converted the Browns into a buzzsaw. 17.5% sack rate, which is first. Second is like 12. They're allowing 153 passing yards per game, which is the third lowest, a 22.5% off throw rate, which is the second highest, and have a, check this out, Walker, 53.4% quarterback pressure rate. So more than half of quarterback snaps are pressures.
I mean, I've seen that for like a game, but never for like four in a row before.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then so Brock Purdy, I was like, well, that's the stat I need to look into. There are 41 quarterbacks who have had at least 50 pressure dropbacks this year. Brock Purdy is 32nd in yards per attempt, 22nd in quarterback rating, 24th in completed completion percentage over expectation. But check this out. The lowest sack rate.
Wow. So he's just getting rid of that shit immediately.
Yeah. Well, he also is like running around a ton. But I would think it would be like a Drake May or a Justin Herbert or a Lamar Jackson, but he has the lowest sack rate this season. Sack rate.
FTN will post like the sack avoided sack rate and stuff like that for quarterbacks. Like, and Goff has been top 10 all season in avoided sack percentage.
Yeah. And what's crazy, as I was looking at these numbers,
his pocket movement is good. And it's like, It's wild how much that can help.
Yeah. But what's funny too is I was looking at these numbers and just completely like just like looking at the players around it, I was like, oh, there's Jared Goff. Oh, there's Jared Goff. Like these are almost all exactly Jared Goff's numbers too. Like he's like 24th in quarterback rating, like 30th in yards per attempt, like third or fourth lowest sack rate, like 25th or something in completion per, like it essentially the same under pressure, Brock Purdy and Jared Goff this year. So, so my question is he too much of a disaster to play this week?
Yes, I think so.
Hey, Walker, guess what? You answered the question correctly. Do not start Brock Purdy this week. Please do not start him.
Yeah, I don't care for it. He's my quarterback. Speaking of 25, like Parkinson, he's quarterback 25 for me.
Check this out. I would rather start. You ready for this? What name do you think I'm going to say?
Deion Sanders.
Nope. Oh, God, no.
What name do you think? Tyler Shuck.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Check this out. They actually got him back to play action last week. He threw 9 play action passes for 117 yards and a touchdown of the 155.8 quarterback rating. And the Jets are the worst team against play action passes in the league this year. I would rather start Kirk Cousins.
All right. Well, I can understand it then.
Yeah. Cause they stopped playing him in pistol and they got him back under center, which is what he was good at in Minnesota and Washington and getting him some play action passes.
Oh, that is pretty funny. I have Kirk Cousins literally at 26.
Ooh, Walker, you should make that switch.
Do it. No, I don't think so.
Okay. Do you have Shadur ranked?
No.
Good. Okay. Shadur Sanders, folks. You're starting George Kittle. You're starting Christian McCaffrey. Do we think that Brock Purdy and what is most assuredly going to be a bad game can also support Juwan Jennings?
I have Juwan Jennings as a low-end wide receiver 3. So you can play him. I think his floor will keep him at like 7 or 8 minimum, but I don't see this being a big ceiling game for him. He's definitely going to do tech bro Jacoby Myers shit.
I would rather start, check this out, John Mechie. Walker's favorite, John Mechie.
I would not, no.
And I would rather start Jaden Higgins, also Walker's favorite. Jaden Higgins.
I do like Jaden Higgins fairly well. I would not do that either, though.
Ooh, how's it feel to have no guts, Walker?
Well, that's not no guts. Come on.
I would rather start in than Chimere DK, though.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, all right. Free space for the Browns. Quinshon Judkins is like our RB2, and Harold Flannen.
I thought you were going to say Harold Flanders.
Harold Flannel is stuck in the late early 90s grunge scene. No, Harold Fannin is a blob tight end.
Which one are you asking me about?
I was going to say Fannin.
Okay, tight end 13.
Okay, so Fannin or K. Dotton?
Fannin.
Fannin or Juwan Johnson?
Juwan.
Fannin or Aronde Gadsden?
Gadsden.
Okay, perfect. All right. Nothing else to add. Please don't start Shedeur Sanders.
No, don't start Shedeur. Don't start David Njoku. Don't start Jerry Jeudy.
Don't start Isaiah Bond. Don't start Cedric Tillman.
Correct. I needed to mention that, but...
Don't start Dylan Sampson. Don't start Jerome Ford. Don't start Dylan Gabriel.
Definitely don't do that. He won't get you any points.
Don't start Deshaun Watson. I think that's everybody.
That one's evergreen, regardless of anything else.
Yeah. They showed on when I was accidentally rewatching last week's Thursday Night Football. they showed the highlights from the Texans Bills playoff game in 2019. And I was like, oh yeah, the
stupid one.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, Deshaun Watson before we knew he was a monster.
Yeah, everybody was like, oh damn, he's like really good and fun.
Yeah, and then it was like, oops, not allowed. Yeah,
oops, turns out he's a huge sex pest, and also the weight of everyone knowing he's a huge sex pest has completely removed his ability to play football.
Yep, that's awesome. That's honestly, you love to see it.
You do.
Also, the Falcons should not get a pass for losing out on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
No, for trying to get Deshaun Watson and then not trying to get Lamar Jackson.
Incredible. Just incredible moves. All right.
Wonderful instincts, folks.
We all got the Niners winning, which I'm very nervous about.
Yeah, I thought about picking the Browns, but I was like, I can't pick Shedeur Sanders.
I can't pick Shedeur Sanders, and like they're just going to give the ball to Christian McCaffrey 600 more times.
Yeah, no, I feel like this, like I said, this game is the Niners are going to score 20 points again. The Browns might score more than 9, but it won't be 20. Like I feel like the Browns could cover, but it'll be like 20-16.
Yeah, and do you know why the Niners lost the last time they played? Guess who missed a field goal?
Oh, Mr. Moody?
Mr. Moody. So hopefully that won't happen this time. All right. Next game up, Houston and the Texans. Suddenly a game that matters. Houston is 6-5. The Colts are 8-3. Indy 3.5-point favorites. 46.5-point over under. Jamal Hill and Ajani Carter are not playing for Houston. And Jalen Carlees is out for the Colts. Walker, you had a question about two deep players in this game.
Yeah, is which one will score more points, Jaden Higgins or Alec Pierce?
Jaden Higgins.
This is coming from a big Alec Pierce guy.
Yeah, this is also coming from a guy who's watched the Texans dismantle every passing game that's come in their way in the last month.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my thing, too, is I like Alec Pierce as a player, probably more than Jaden Higgins, almost assuredly.
Yeah.
But the matchup is just really bad for the Colts passing offense, and we've now found out that Daniel Jones is playing on a broken leg.
Yeah, that's insane. That is crazy.
Don't do that, man. I know he has to because they don't have another option. It's either injured Anthony Richardson or Riley Leonard. So
I forgot Anthony Richardson broke his face.
Right, yes, he's on IR right now. So Riley Leonard, rookie, is the backup right now. So that isn't going to work, obviously. But yeah, I think Pierce is going to suffer because of those two things. And Higgins, the matchup against the Colts is fine. It's not amazing, but it's not bad. And he's been getting quite a bit of target share lately.
Yeah. I mean, it's been four of the last five games, he had a quarterback start and finish, and he had at least 7 targets in all 4 of the games. So, I mean, it's really, really good floor. ability there for him in a better matchup, more guaranteed targets. Like, Alec Pierce is just this all or nothing guy. And against the Texans defense, I don't really trust an all or nothing guy.
No, I agree.
Yeah, Riley Leonard, I comp to bad Carson Wentz.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. I'm looking back at my notes. Man. Oh, there's also another rookie in this game, rookie quarterback. The quarterback that I had ranked last.
Really?
Graham Mertz.
Oh.
I think he's on practice squad. I don't think he's actually going to be active.
Okay.
But he's on the Texans. All right. So you're starting Jonathan Taylor. So with this revelation that Daniel Jones is playing with a broken leg, are you going to play him this week?
No,
I would not play him. There is the code might have been cracked on Daniel Jones. He might be Daniel Jones.
Just like his fibula, right in front folks.
He might be Daniel Jonesing right in front of our faces. Like, he's regressed hard over the last couple games.
Yeah, he has.
Maybe because he has a broken leg. I don't know.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, so I would not like go hard in the Daniel Jones paint. I would rather start him. Daniel Jones or Brock Purdy?
Jones.
Yeah, I concur. Daniel Jones or Tua?
Jones.
All right. CJ Stroud is like under 40% rostered. I have him as one of my streamers this week. I think people got in a bye week hell and dropped him because they needed the roster spot. So you can go... profit, because in the four games before he got hurt, he was putting up like 250 yards and over 2 touchdowns a game. So he's a worthy stream. Where do you have CJ Stroud ranked, Walker?
18.
Okay. So right in the streamable area. Okay. On the Colts, who are we starting on the Colts? Jonathan Tyler Warren and
Michael Pittman Jr.
Are you sure about that?
I think you have to. He just gets so many end zone targets. He's top 5 among receivers in end zone targets. And so I just, as well as he's performed this year, I know the matchup's bad, but I think you stick with him.
Okay. If Houston makes the playoffs.
To be fair, he is the last guy that I have as a must start player. He's at 21.
Okay. Just a reminder, check out Walker's ranks, footballabsurdity.com. It says weekly ranks up at the top. Right. Walker works hard on them. Actually, I don't know how hard Walker works on them. I assume hard.
I work hard on them, yeah.
Yeah, I assume so. If the Texans make the playoffs, how far do you think they're getting?
They're not going anywhere. They will lose first round.
Really? With that defense? That confidently?
I mean, I guess they could, if they get like a really good matchup, like a lucky matchup against an awful quarterback, I could see them, or maybe they get like Denver. I think they could beat Denver because I think they could probably beat Knicks. But like, if it's a good quarterback, I feel like it's like in the playoffs, I don't think Josh Allen is going to turn the ball over a million times like he did in 2019 or earlier this season. Like, I just don't. I think Houston's offense is too dysfunctional.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if they're finding something with Jaden Higgins here as a viable second target.
I don't know. He had 9 targets last week and he only caught 4 of them. Like, I still don't think that's a sure thing.
That was Davis Mills, though.
Sure, but we don't know if him and CJ Stroud even have chemistry.
That's fair. I was just curious. Okay. I think that's it for this game. We all have Houston winning. Miami's 4-7. They travel to New Orleans, take on the 2-9 Saints. Miami 5.5-point favorite. And I realized I had these teams backwards and I forgot to switch the notes. Miami 5.5-point favorites, 43.5-point over under. Injuries in this one, Rasul Douglas, Austin Jackson, Benito Jones, and Darren Waller are questionable for the Dolphins. Alvin Kamara is out for the Saints and Chris Olave is questionable. Chris Olave was added late in the week. Like, this is a very like check the injury reports first thing in the morning. Or I guess first thing in the early afternoon if you're on the East Coast, for Chris Olave. Cause whenever somebody gets added to the injury report with something like a back late in the week, I think it was Thursday. That's really concerning. Bad. That's really bad.
Not great.
My question for this was for the Saints, is Taysom Hill bullshit going to reign supreme once again? And to that, I mean, does it destroy Devin Neal's upside? Because Taysom Hill is bad. Over the last two games, 17 touches, one target, three pass attempts, 33% snap share and 37% snap share. So 17 touches, one target, three pass attempts. Can you guess how many total yards Taysom Hill has amassed on 20 opportunities, we'll call it?
19.
37. Simply the most inefficient play is Taysom Hill touching the football.
Yeah, he is guaranteed to get 2 yards.
Yeah, if you need 2 yards, he'll get you 2 yards. If you need 4 yards, he'll get you 2 yards.
That's right.
Is he going to ruin Devin Neal's upside? Because last week, Devin Neal, because Alvin Kamara got hurt like almost right away. So he finished 7 for 18, which is not great, but five catches on 7 targets, 43 yards in the passing game. Do we think Taysom Hill takes too much away from Devin Neal to start this week?
I think you can play Devin Neal, but I think you probably have better options because of the Taysom Hill bullshit at the goal line, especially. I think it's going to be a lot more like Devin Neal has like 10 carries, and I don't think they'll be very efficient. So it'll be like 10 for 28, and then maybe 4 catches for 30. So that's 9.8. So that's okay, but he's more of a flex guy for me than an RB2.
Okay, would you rather start him or Woody Marks in the last game? We didn't talk about the running backs.
Yeah, we didn't. Sorry about that. I'd go Woody. I have Woody at 29 just for posterity.
Okay, so a flex option there. And I'm guessing Nick Chubb like 40.
Nick Chubb. He's not even in my top 50.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair enough. All right. If Chris Olave plays, do you throw him out there, or are you too concerned about this back injury?
No, you play him. Miami's not a very good defense, and he gets a ton of targets.
Okay. If Chris Olave doesn't play, is it Devon Vele season once again, Walker?
Oh, God. I would love it to be Devon Vele season. That would be so good for me specifically, but it's probably not. No, it'll probably just be like more Juwan Johnson season or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say Juwan Johnson goes from like tight end 8 to like tight end 4.
5, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So you're starting Juwan Johnson, and then on the other side, you're starting Devon Achan and Jalen Waddle as like a wide receiver 3, and that's it. I was like, ooh, sneaky Tua, and I was like, oh, man, Tua's been really bad lately. I forgot.
Yeah, Tua's not good.
They took a week off, and I completely forgot how bad Tua Tagovailoa is. That's what happens. You take your eyes off of Tua and you forget how bad he is. I have him on one dynasty team and I've been starting Jacoby Brissett. That man has not even entered my thought process for weeks.
Oh, no, I have the same thing where I have Brissett, Lawrence, Stafford, and the guy we were literally just talking about.
Tua,
yeah. And Tua is literally, he's 4th out of 4 almost every week.
Yeah, the only reason he's not 4th out of 4 for me is it's a deep bench, and I somehow managed to get Tyrod Taylor for a $0 fab bid. So I'm like, okay, so I have 4 quarterbacks. 2 of them I want to start. The other 2 are definitely on my roster. You cannot take that away from them.
You are there.
Yeah, you exist. You're hanging out down there with Keyshawn Nixon and Demario Davis at the bottom of my roster. Just guys that if somebody's like, hey, I'm going to cut some players that you might want, I'm like, get out of here. Get out of my face. Get out of here, Tyrod.
Yes, that's all right.
Hanging out down there with Michael Wilson, who I can't seem to be able to fit into my lineup. Poor me. All right. Although a son got hurt, guess who's probably going to enter my lineup next week?
I think it's going to be Mike Willie.
I think it is. All right. Next game up, we're going to make up some time. Atlanta 4-7, the Jets 2-9, Atlanta 2.5-point favorites, 39.5-point over under. Drake London, Josh Woods, and Malik Verdon are out for the Falcons. Chris Lindstrom is questionable for the Jets. Harrison Phillips and Jarvis Brownlee are questionable. I already talked about like the one like fun fact I was going to have about the Falcons. So we'll just go Bijan Pitts, free space, and then Darnell Mooney as like a wide receiver three.
Yeah, I don't even think Pitts is a sure thing. I think he's a blob tight end.
Okay. Pitts or Juwan Johnson?
Johnson.
Pitts or Cade Otton, who I keep asking about.
Yeah, you have asked it literally every time we've had a tight end question.
Well, I feel like, where's Cade Otton ranked for you this week?
18.
Oh, wow. Okay, I figured he was like 14. Who's your tight end 14?
Theo Johnson.
Theo Johnson. Okay. Theo Johnson or Cade Otton? No, I'm just kidding.
I have Kyle Pitts at 16.
Okay,
it's gonna sound like a non sequitur, but Jeff's just fucking around. So
yeah, no, yeah. And then Darnell Mooney, where's he ranked for you? He is the wide receiver one.
He sure is. He's not in my rankings.
He's not in your top 50.
Not.
Hachi Machi, I'm gonna take this Mooney question mark off then. All right, and then for the Jets, start Brees Hall, and then John Metchie.
51. LOL.
Oh, he is. So we need one guy to get hurt.
Be one guy to get hurt, and he'll be in there. And then it's possible that I could. Really, I could just put him in, but I don't wanna because it's not how I do things. So it's because of my obsessive compulsive disorder that he can't be in right now.
We need a Chris Olave ruled out on Saturday.
Something like that. Terry McLaurin. Oh, he's gonna play.
He's gonna play. And then John Metchie. We've been talking about him.
It's another guy that's just barely out of my rankings.
Yeah, but he is like a deep league wide receiver three.
Yeah. He's a fine play, but there's a good chance he gets you like 6 points.
Yeah, he's my deep streamer this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Yeah. I would have probably the only other option would be like his teammate.
Adonai Mitchell?
Yeah,
that man is dead to me.
He sucks.
He's so bad. All right. Mike and I have the Falcons winning Walker. We're built for this shit.
Yeah, I'm picking the fighting Aaron Glenn's folks.
Yeah. Maybe he'll do a little dance again.
Be funny.
Yeah. All right. Time for Walker sneaky banger of the week. We've got Jacoby Brissett versus Teddy Bridgewater.
potential adjustment on the sneaky banger of the week if Baker doesn't play.
Sneaky banger of the week, asterisk. Arizona's 3-8, Tampa Bay 6-5. Tampa Bay 6.5 point favorites, 50.5 point over under. I almost said 6.5 point favorites, which just sounds weird. Trey Benson, Will Hernandez, Christian Jones, Walter Nolan, Amari DiMercato, Dadrian Taylor Demerson are all out for the Cardinals. Bam Knight, Marvin Harrison Jr., Kelvin Beachum, Hayden Connor, and Max Melton are questionable. For the Buccaneers, Benjamin Morrison is out. Baker is a true questionable. Bucky Irving is questionable but is going to play. Ben Bredesen, Hassan Reddick, Anthony Nelson, and Jamel Dean are also all questionable. Walker, let's talk about your question for this team.
Is Michael Wilson better than Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yes and no. Drew Petzing knows how to use Michael Wilson. He does not know how to use Marvin Harrison.
I agree with that to a degree, yes.
Do you think that Michael Wilson's better than Marvin Harrison?
I'm not sure yet, but I think that it's trending that way, yeah.
To paraphrase Denny Carter, we are thinking very strongly about it.
Yeah, we're considering it bigly.
Yeah, consider the orb pondered in this particular regard.
I'm pondering that shit like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the results, yes. The pedigree, what we've seen outside of the Cardinals, no. But. Mm-hmm. Same offense, one guy's actually producing while the other guy's out. Like, it's not a situation where it's like Michael Wilson. It's not like a George Pickens, CD Lamb situation where George Pickens is getting the wide receiver too. It's like Marvin Harrison's out and Michael Wilson's just dominating.
Yeah, I mean, they're even like still throwing the ball to Trey McBride and Greg Dortch.
Yeah, it's
and Wilson is still dominating. So it's, yeah, I mean, I obviously he's not going to be force-fed targets when Harrison comes back, but I still think he can be, you know, reasonably productive. I don't think he'll catch as many touchdowns as Harrison because that's not really his game, but
yeah,
I think he can keep eating in that intermediate area and rack up, like, you know, 6 catch for 85-yard games.
Yeah, I mean, 6 for 85, I mean, I would take that all day from Michael Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that they've realized they can do that with him now. Like, I don't know if they knew he could handle that.
Yeah, because there was some hype for him earlier in his career, and then he just never lived up to it, and now he's kind of like...
Wasn't he still only in his second year or something, or is he in his third year now?
It's his third year, because it was the year before Marvin Harrison got drafted. They were like, the Cardinals have their DeAndre Hopkins replacement. It's like, okay, dude, whatever you say.
Yeah, a guy they took in the third round who caught like 40 passes his whole college career.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. Michael Wilson's a good player, but like, yeah, he wasn't going to turn into DeAndre Hopkins right away.
Yeah, there was all that hype, and then one of the early highlights from him out of camp was not being on the same page with whoever was throwing the ball and getting absolutely nailed in the head with a pass. So, but I'm looking at this Marvin Harrison guy, this Marvin Harrison Jr. guy. Yeah. He had like that one huge quarter. Remember that one huge quarter? I think it was what, week 2 last year?
Yeah.
Or the first half. And then outside of that, nothing there. Like this profile, this profile is looking like a T. Higgins profile, a strong wide receiver too.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to be way harsher, so I'm glad that you stepped in.
Well, I'm just saying like a strong, what were you going to say?
Hey, Britt.
Oh, Kenny Britt. More like Kenny shit, first of all. Second of all,
I have a better one.
Okay.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, that's perfect. That's actually really good. That's actually really good. Because that's how they're using him too.
Yeah, but Harrison kind of, he's that type of guy where it's like, well, if they only used him correct, and I feel like Harrison will have one season at some point where he just wins every 50-50 ball and has 1,400 or 1,500 yards like Jeffrey did the 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of his career, he'll have like 907 every year, and everybody will be like, why isn't he better?
Just one more bulking cycle. Just one more bulking cycle, bro. I'll win these 50-50 balls. It'll work. Trust me. Just one more.
Just look like a tight end a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm calling up David Boston. Hey, man, I need help. you okay?
Shit. I had taken a drink and then you made me laugh. I'm sorry.
I got silence and I was like, did I get the name wrong? I'm pretty sure it's David Boston.
No, it's definitely David Boston. No, David Boston got too jacked. I remember that.
What running back are we starting this weekend on the Cardinals?
Oh, none of them. Get him out of my face, dog.
Who fell ass backwards into being my streaming running back? It's Michael Carter, because he's the only healthy running back.
Isn't Trey Benson playing?
No. Trey Benson is out, baby.
They didn't activate him?
Nope. Trey Benson is out. Amari DiMercato is out. Bam Knight is playing, but he was like crawling on the sidelines last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right then. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you should play Michael Carter either, but like in a desperation style situation, he's basically the same as Devin Neal to me.
Yeah, let me put it this way. The hardest thing that I do every week is my sub 10% rostered streaming running back.
That makes sense, yeah.
Because every running back that's getting like double digit touches is at least like 20% rostered. Like Blake Corum is like 23% rostered, I think.
That's cool. Yeah. That's a cool thing to have exist.
Yeah, that's a cool thing to have in my brain. Forgetting my childhood to know Blake Corum's roster rate. So here, let's ask this. If Marvin Harrison's back, do we start him right away? Oh man, I stumped the walker.
I don't know. Yeah, because it's not like a physical injury, really.
I mean, he only had himself, he was only cut open.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if he's no, ready to go, then he's ready to go. So I think he'll be full go. So I think, yeah, you play him probably.
Okay, let's see. So in the last two games with Jacoby Myers, he had 22 targets for 10 catches. Did I say Jacoby Myers?
Yeah.
That's what I'm always afraid I'm going to do is say they're wrong.
Quarterback Jacoby Myers.
Damn. I think that's the new episode title. Instead, no, Big Italian Dom's got to stay the episode title.
Yeah, it's got to be that. So, I mean, we could beat it, I guess, but it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. But yeah, last two games with Jacoby Brissett, 22 targets, but only 10 catches for 139 yards, two scores. So,
yeah, I mean,
wide receiver three, flex, like you probably have better options.
I have him at 26. So, I mean, okay. Like a couple of guys he's around that we've already talked about. I mean, like he's five below Michael Pittman, two below Teteroa McMillan, five ahead of Juwan Jennings.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's talk about the other side. Can we start Bucky in his first game back? So on Wednesday, offensive coordinator Josh Grizzard said that Bucky Irving would have a limited workload. Compare that to Chris Godwin last week, who played on about 25% of snaps. Then today, Friday, Todd Bowles said, fuck all that shit, that Bucky Irving would get a chance to establish the hot hand, meaning he will get the... What I hear that as is Bucky Irving's going to get a chance to show that he is healthy and can play. Cardinals are the fifth best matchup of the week per my model, and they have allowed the eighth most fantasy points per game to running backs over the last 5 weeks. Is Bucky Irving a top 15 running back this week?
Top 15? No, but I do think you should start him. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So Buccaneers Irving is back, folks, and that's really what I wanted to know. Ibuka, you're starting. You're starting Baker if he plays, yes?
I don't know if you have to.
Okay.
Hasn't been throwing touchdowns. Is going to be favoring that shoulder. I doubt he runs very much. I think you can probably... I would much rather start Brissett in this game than Baker.
Okay. What about Jackson Dart?
I'd start Dart over him. That's a close one, though.
What about Danny Dimes on one leg? Danny Nickel.
Danny Nichols, that's good. I'd go Baker on that one.
Okay. And then Kate Otten or Kate Otten?
I'm going to have to go with Kate Otten on that one.
Okay. I was holding on to that one. Had that one in my back pocket. All right, we've talked Kate Otten to death. All right, we all got the Buccaneers winning, folks. All right, we go on to our last 10 a.m. game of the week. We've got the Jags and the Titans. Jags are 7-4. Titans are 1-10. Jacksonville, 7-point favorites, 43.5-point over-under. Brian Thomas Jr. is back. Patrick McCary, Chuma Edoga, Trevon Walker, and Eric Murray are out for the Jags. For the Titans, Jalen Amor Davis, Kendall Brooks, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Shai Tuttle are out. Elik Aomanor, Dan Moore, Chigozie Okonkwo, and Xavier Woods are questionable. Mike wants to know. Mike did get a few questions in here. Mike wants to know, BTJ, over under 4 receptions. I feel like this is they're going to work over the Titans to try to get Brian Thomas going again. So I'm going to go with over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over. I'll say 5.
5? He has been at or below that number in 3 of his last 4 games.
Yeah, I think it's a good line, honestly.
Yeah. He's only gotten the over twice this year.
Yeah, I think in this game, I'm going to say 5 for 87. No touchdown.
I'm going to go 5 for 67. And a touchdown.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is a really good line for Mike. Like,
shout out Mike.
Shout out Mike. Have you heard of this? Have you seen this? You heard about this?
Have you heard about Mike Valverde?
folks. Have you heard about, by the way, really want to shout out Mike, David Sills, Ultimate Reality Bending?
That was so funny, dude. I was pissed and like laughing my ass off at the same time. I could not believe he lathed David Sills into scoring a touchdown. That's unbelievable.
Oh man, the man knows his stuff. What can I say? He has two jackass co-hosts though that are like, no, get out of here.
What about? Yeah, we're all like, dull process, and Mike's like, I got a feeling about David Sills.
We're like, shut and up, Mike.
Mike's, yeah, Mike's get right 80% of the time. Okay.
All right. Great line, Mike. Yeah, great line set for BTJ. Trevor Lawrence is like my streamer just because it's the Titans. He's been actually pretty good over the last few games. And apparently this coincides with Liam Cohen telling him to wear a goddamn play sheet on his wrist. The man is simply too stupid to be an NFL quarterback, I think.
I think he's too stupid to function entirely.
Yeah. Good God. So he's a streamer, but I would like not recommend it. It's purely a matchup thing. And he's been playing well lately.
I have him at 13. Like, I think you could play him this week just because it's Tennessee mostly, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a streamer, I don't know why you would, because everybody's playing this week, but if you needed one, sure.
You're in a one quarterback league and you only had Baker Mayfield for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go for Lawrence then, sure.
And everybody's only allowed exactly one quarterback.
Right.
So you're toasted. I do think BTJ coming back, I think that this is going to lower the upside of Jacoby Prime and Parker Washington.
Yeah, I think they're both like wide receiver fours now.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're playing ETN, back to ETN, folks. Bashel Tootin is just like absolute like desperation. You don't want to start him, running back four, desperation flex guy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You're hoping for a touchdown. And Brenton Strange, Walker, where's Brenton Strange ranked for you this week?
Well, Tennessee is weirdly not bad against tight ends, so he's only at 20 for me.
What if I told you, per my model, they are bad against tight ends? I haven't like gone to the nuts and bolts of what the model, like what it actually is. It breaks things down into distance from the mean, so Z score, and on a per target basis. So it like flushes out teams that like don't get tight end targets because they play a bunch of junk tight ends. And so it kind of emphasizes the guys that actually do get targets against them. And then it weights it for things that are fantasy points, like yards per target is 1/10 as much as catch rate, and touchdowns are worth 6 times as much as catch rate. So per that, they are the 9th best matchup on the week.
Well, I mean, if you want to play Brenton Strange, go for it. But I don't know. I don't trust it.
Have you considered the process? The process good? I don't know, but I have one.
Well, you know, and fair enough.
All right. Don't start anybody on the Titans. Maybe Chimere DK if you're desperate.
Let's see here. Sneaky Cam Ward?
I almost put Cam Ward in my streamers this week, but then I looked at the numbers and it's like the next time he throws for 2 touchdowns will be the first time he does it in his career. So I'm not going to sneaky Cam Ward that onto my roster.
Doing it this week. That's my lock of the week. He's going to have his first multi-touchdown game.
Oh my God. Walker's lock of the week. I got to put this in here.
Is Io Manor playing?
I think he's a true questionable.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say 1 touchdown for Chig and 1 touchdown for Chimere DK.
Let's see. He's gotten in 3 limited practices, which usually means somebody's going to play.
Yeah.
All right. So Cam Ward, 2 TD, colon, the Walker Kelly guarantee. Perfect. All right. And that's it for this game. We all got the Jags winning. On to the 3 snooze fest 1 o'clock games.
Are they? I mean...
Huh? Minnesota, Seattle, Las Vegas, Chargers, and Buffalo, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but the best game is my disappointment of the week, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Not so good. Not so good.
I was gonna say there's one good game, and then I saw disappointment of the week, and I was like, well, Walker won't be agreeing with that. Minnesota, Seattle. Minnesota's 4-7. Seattle's 8-3. Seahawks, 8.5-point favorites. 43.5-point over-under. That line, too low. For the Vikings, Donovan Jackson and NFC Offensive Player of the Week, J.J. McCarthy, are both out. Christian Darrisaw, Jonathan Greenard, Theo Jackson, Josh Metellus, and Jalen Redmond are questionable. For the Seahawks, George Helani and Riley Mills are out, and Ty Okada is questionable. I have a Minnesota Vikings proposal.
Oh, okay.
So here are some rankings. Max Brosmer hasn't played. Undrafted free agent. Unlikely to be a recommended start.
I would agree with that.
Carson Wentz on IR was QB29 when he played. J.J. McCarthy. Brain doesn't work. Ankle doesn't work. QB36 when he plays. Aaron Jones has been RB33 per game on the season. Jordan Mason, RB38. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver 17. Jordan Addison, wide receiver 42. T.J. Hockenson, tight end 29. Justin Jefferson and Aaron Jones flex free space team for the Minnesota Vikings.
I agree.
All right.
Until they have a quarterback who can prove he can actually throw the ball to Jordan Addison, then yes.
Yeah, it's we will revisit if we see something crazy happen with Max Brosmer, we will revisit this.
Yeah.
But as for now, they are a free space team. All right, Walker, you wanted.
That's fine.
Yeah, and in this game, I mean, it's Justin Jefferson is hanging on by his nails to be.
I literally have him at wide receiver 17 this week.
Bang! Right on with the season. So,
Aaron Jones, running back 28.
Okay, so higher than his season rank. Walker loves Aaron Jones this week.
Apparently.
Aaron Jones. All right, Walker, you wanted to ask about the wide receivers on the other side.
Yeah, is JSN too damn good, and he just make all other Seattle receivers, they don't matter anymore?
I feel about, so I think Rashid Shaheed is struggling, and I think this is something we have to remember for next year when guys get traded midseason, is they always struggle. Like, wide receivers who come in midseason, they have no chance to build any rapport with the quarterback. Right. So, there's that. Then you get like Torrey Horton popping up, Cooper Kupp popping up. It's like, it reminds me a lot of like the New England Patriots, where it's like somebody's going to do something, but right. Who is going to do what? And I think that makes all the rest of them unstartable.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're necessarily irrelevant, as my question says, but unstartable, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that also trends down into AJ Barner, who we see got 10 targets a couple weeks ago and the last week did nothing.
Yeah, he's too volatile to be consistent. In good matchups, I think he's a streamer, but he shouldn't be on your roster week to week.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Same question about the running backs. What do, Walker?
I think you play Kenneth Walker, and I think you probably try not to play Zach Charbonnet.
I agree. I think they're realizing that we talked about it last week where they're like, oh, JSN can keep us on schedule. We don't need this like metronomic efficiency from, you know, Zach Charbonnet. We can go with the home run hitter with Kenneth Walker. And I think that might be a change that I hate throwing around this term because I think it's silly, but it could be a league winner change if the Seahawks actually go to this, because Kenneth Walker is so much better than Zach Charbonnet. And if he gets like consistent touches, he could be a guy that gets you like, you know, out of nowhere, like 15, 16 points a week.
Yeah, so. I think I timed my trade for Kenneth Walker and Tetrapalooza pretty well.
What was it? Kenneth Walker for what?
I gave up a second round pick and AJ Barner.
So pick 30.
Yeah, probably like pick 30. It would be pick 30 currently, yeah, because I'm in third place.
Yeah. Oh man, Teshapalooza. The league I hate and love the most.
It is so good. I love that league.
Yeah.
I've come around on unabashedly loving Teshapalooza, even though it's stupid.
It's stupid because nobody has a good team except for like one guy, except for Tesh.
Except for fucking Brian, yeah.
Yeah, it's his league. He's the only guy with a good team. Folks, it's a 16 team. What's it like, an 18 man bench or something?
Oh god, the rosters are massive and it's super flex. It's simply not good, folks. It's not good.
But I missed a round in the rookie draft this year because I traded my second round pick and I didn't draft for like 5 days.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah.
It was crazy. All right. And then Sam Darnold, revenge game?
Nah. I mean, he'll be fine probably, but I don't really think he'll be super fantasy relevant.
QB 13. No, QB 13 is Trevor Lawrence. QB 15.
17.
Okay. I knew who the evens were. I figured he slotted in there somewhere.
15 was Baker and 16 is Goff.
He did already play. All right. Vegas and the Chargers. Vegas 2-9. Chargers 7-4. Chargers 10-point favorites. 41.5-point over under. Free space for the... Oh, sorry. Injuries first. Michael Mayer isn't playing. Jordan Meredith is questionable, as is Adam Butler, Darnay Holmes, and Zamir White. Omarion Hampton ruled out in this one, as is Otito Ogbonya. Free space team for the Raiders, Genty and Bowers. You're starting them both. Mike wants to know who leads... Mike with the Chargers punt question. Who leads the wide receiver room in fantasy points?
Ladd.
Yeah, I think it's Ladd. Who's second? I think it's QJ.
Give me Allen.
I think it's QJ because the reason it's been Allen is because the line has been terrible. And outside of Max Crosby, there's no other pass rusher on this Raiders defense.
That is
so fair. They will have time to throw to QJ.
Okay. I can respect that.
Okay. So it's Ladd first and then either QJ or Keenan Allen second. Hope that helps everybody.
I think Ladd is a must play.
Let me ask this. Is the second highest pass catcher on this team Aronde Gadsden?
I think so, yeah.
I think so too.
It's close, but I do think so, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's McConkey, Gadsden, and then I think it's QJ. Walker thinks it's Keenan Allen. What are we doing with Kamani Vidal?
I think you play him. I mean, the Raiders are not very good. He's going to be the starting running back, so I'd fire him up.
Yeah, one last ride.
Yep, that's right.
Kimani
Final.
Ooh, Kimani Final. I was gonna go with Kimani Vidal showing everybody pictures of his family and be talking about I got 3 days to retirement. Oh no, Kimani, you're gonna get killed. Kimani, don't do it. All right. We all have the Chargers winning this one. Pretty straightforward. You're starting Justin Herbert. You're not starting Geno Smith.
Correct.
Walker, Geno Smith or Kate Otten?
Oh, God. probably Geno.
Yeah. All right. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Buffalo 7-4. Pittsburgh 6-5. Buffalo 4.5-point favorites. 48.5-point over-under. Oh, man, everybody in the AFC is like 7-4. It's somewhere between like 7-4. And 5-6, it feels like.
Except for the Raiders, who we just said was 2-9.
I mean, everybody who matters.
Oh, wow. Except for the Broncos, who were 9-2.
Yeah. Yeah, my coworker today was like, how are the Giants already eliminated from playoff contention, but the Titans aren't? And I was like, because the AFC is like much flatter than the NFC.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Injuries in this one for Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Buffalo 4.5-point favorites. Terrell Bernard, Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, Josh Palmer is questionable. Broderick Jones and Derek Harmon are out for the Steelers. Walker, your question is about Joshua Allen. What's his middle name? Lamar?
I don't think so. I'm going to say Patrick.
Let's see. Josh Allen, middle name. Josh Allen. His middle name is Joshua Patrick Allen.
What?
It's Joshua what? Patrick Allen.
Okay, man. How did I know that?
Walker with the most useless pull of all time.
Yeah, I Jesus, I don't know. I was just out of my ass. Damn, okay.
Yeah. Pride of Fireball, California, baby. All right. Which Josh Allen do we get? One who runs a ton.
Yeah, if they need to win, he's going to run.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of just like, we need Josh Allen to do some stuff. And that stuff is running the ball at 6 yards a clip.
Mm-hmm. I think in this game, he'll do what he needs to do to win. And I think he's going to bounce back for fantasy.
Yeah. And when I accidentally replayed the last week's Thursday Night Football today, I saw Josh Allen do the jump over the pile, hands out thing. Please do not do that again. Teams will know that you are going to do that when you line up for the tush push, and they will simply punch that ball out of your hand.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
It happened to Trevor Lawrence earlier this year.
Yeah. For people who don't know, it's the thing that they do on the goal line where the ball just has to cross the plane. And if you lose it, lose it. But he did it on 4th and 1. And it's like, oh, buddy, you cannot be doing that.
No.
You cannot rush like that, white baby.
You can't be doing that, white quarterback.
All right. Are we starting any of these wide receivers? Khalil Shakir?
Yeah, I think Shakir is a fine play because Pittsburgh's defense isn't particularly good.
Yeah.
I have Shakir as a high-end wide receiver 3. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Yeah, James Cook is a must-start, and we regret to inform you so is Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, yeah, Dalton Kincaid, you got to play.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the Bills. Pretty straightforward. Yeah, nobody else, like, they're not even starting Keon Coleman, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're not even dressing Keon Coleman.
Brother, you got to get rid of that guy.
Yeah. I got rid of him in my Dynasty League for Tyrod Taylor. Hey, you know what? I was like, I can't trade this guy. I need this. I want this roster spot. And he's like my wide receiver, like 6. I'm like, all right, he gone.
Fair enough.
I will not be holding on to JJ Arcega-Whiteside Part 2. I will not be doing this. I will not have this man clog up my roster for the next 2 seasons.
I think he's a little better than JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
I don't know, man. I don't know. All right. My question is for the Pittsburgh Steelers is, will they put the Kenneth Gainwell genie back in the bottle again? So,
I don't think so.
But check this out, Walker. Week 4, 31 fantasy points, RB3. They had a bye week. Then week 6, RB18. Then from week 7 through 10, he averaged 5.5 touches for 22 yards per game. Then the last 2 weeks, RB5 and RB9. They put him back in the bottle for some reason, but do you think they'll do it again?
Not entirely. Like, I do think he'll go back in the tube a little. I think Jalen Warren is still the starting running back here, but Warren is clearly not 100% yet. Like, from
the famous thing you can famously do, push toothpaste back in the tube.
Right. going back in there, I swear. I'll do it. I'll get it there.
I'll get it back in there.
Yeah, I think Warren, it's 1A, 1B, but I think they use them both enough that in good matchups, which this one is, Buffalo's defense is really bad against opposing running backs. So Warren is a must-start player, and I still think Gainwell is like a fringe RB2.
I would rather start Gainwell than like Woody Marks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gainwell or... any Washington running back.
Oh, Gainwell by a mile.
Yeah. Gainwell or pick a Patriots running back.
Breon Henderson.
Okay. Over Gainwell, but what about Gainwell or Ramondre?
I took Gainwell there.
Okay. All right. And then DK Metcalf, boom bust wide receiver 3. Forgot to mention Aaron Rodgers is playing this week, so he's a two quarterback league quarterback two. And Walker talked about Jalen Warren. If you can pick a tight, which tight end is going to perform this week, good for you. I will not be doing that.
That is correct. I will. It's a decent DFS dart throw if you can figure out which one, but otherwise, yeah, don't do it in lineup leagues.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that'll do it for that game. Let's talk Sunday Night Football. Absolute snooze of the week. Unwatchable. Garbage. Dreck.
It's not going to be very good, no.
Yeah. Denver 9-2, Washington 3-8. Denver 6.5-point favorites, 43.5-point over-under. Nate Adkins is out for the Broncos. Jonah Ellis is questionable. Jaden Daniels and Noah Brown and Drake Jackson are out. Noah Brown with non-injury related rest.
Yeah, as a part, as an out designation, which obviously he's got two other ones too.
Yeah.
It is funny that they're basically just saying like, yeah, his groin and knee hurt really bad and he needs to like take another week off.
His groin and knee hurt and he's sleepy.
He's got to take a nap.
They cut to Noah Brown on the sidelines. He's got like a sleeping cap and the little candle on the plate. It's like, oh, he's so sleepy.
He's got a glass of milk next to him.
Yeah, a big, he's in a nightgown.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And then they cut to him later in the game and he's got a feather flying up going, choo! He's so sleepy. All right. Will Harris and Tyler Ott are questionable. For the Commanders. So in your long snapper leagues, be very careful of Tyler Ott this week. Walker, I thought a lot about
that.
Huh?
How would you even score that?
You could probably do
like snap hits right in the hands, 3 points.
I'm thinking it's an indirect thing. Like it's going to be like punting. It'll be like an indirect way to do punting and field goals kicking, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Because
at that point, you could just do team special teams.
Ooh. But I want to be like researching. I want to go true sicko mode and be researching long snappers.
No, you don't.
No, you're right. I don't. What I would probably do is just kill myself instead. Hey, Jeff, do you want to join this long snapper league? Well, I made a promise.
Jeff brought a bag lunch. Smart.
What?
You don't know that post?
No.
It's about Bud Dwyer.
Oh. Okay, I can piece it together.
Yeah, he had the gun in the bag, yeah.
That he did. All right. I was cleaning out old Photoshops I did, and for some reason I Photoshopped Bud Dwyer with a light gun from Time Crisis in his hand at some point.
I don't know what Time Crisis is, but that sounds funny.
It's the arcade shooting game.
Okay.
With like the blue gun and the pink gun.
Okay, I still don't know this. That sounds transgender though.
Yeah. It's the first trans shooting game. It's just for some reason it's because they're revolvers. So for some reason at some point I Photoshopped a Time Crisis gun into Bud Dwyer's hand. I was like, okay, man, I don't know why I did that, but I did.
You should Photoshop the water gun from the emoji water gun into his hand.
Oh, man. Anyways, more likely huge breakout game. I thought about this question long and hard, Walker.
Oh, you did good. I thought this was a pretty good one. Who has the larger chance of using this Washington matchup as a jumping off point for the rest of the season? Is it RJ Harvey or Troy Franklin?
So I was thinking a lot about how the last game, not last week, but 2 weeks ago, RJ Harvey was like league average, just more touches. Like he didn't do anything with the production. And then I looked at Troy Franklin's numbers, and he has over the last five games between 8 and 10 targets in every single game, and he scored 4 touchdowns in the last five games. And I'm like, that screams Troy Franklin to me.
The actual answer to this question is Troy Franklin did it about 4 weeks ago.
Okay,
and nobody noticed.
Yeah, because I didn't notice till I was like RJ. I was like RJ Harvey or Troy Franklin. I was like, what's Troy Franklin? And I was like, oh my god.
Oh yeah, Troy Franklin is going crazy lately. Like he has been climbing every week in my rankings. He's a must start for me this week.
Yeah, Troy Franklin has been a monster, and Washington is like next level doo doo.
Yeah, they are not good. I could see like over 100 and a touchdown for Franklin in this game, and I could see Cortland Sutton being good as well.
Yeah. It's they're the fifth best matchup in my matchup model that I talked about this week.
I'm an advocate of starting a lot of Broncos this week.
Yeah. I think this one's gonna be like a lot of RJ Harvey in the second half just running the ball. We're gonna get an Audric Estime sighting in the fourth quarter.
That's right. 5 carries for 8 yards.
Blowout city, baby. Nah, he's gonna get 5 carries for like 13 yards because he's gonna get like a first down that takes it down to the 2-minute warning.
Like an 11-yard carry and the other 4 goes for 2.
Yeah. When the Commanders defenders are like, you know what, we want to go home too.
Yeah, we would like to actually be done.
Yeah. So I agree with you on the Sutton thing. We agree on the Troy Franklin thing. RJ Harvey is probably like RB 24. Okay, so somewhere on that borderline. Not game changing talent.
Right. But he's solid. He's fine.
He's solid, yeah. All right, and you're starting Onyx as like QB9.
QB8, almost identical.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. That's it for the Broncos. Okay. For the Commanders.
Who do you think is my QB9? Let's see if you can guess it.
I'm thinking, hold on. Let me try to divine this. Is it Brissett?
Fucking incredible.
Yes.
That's good stuff.
I'm just sitting here staring at the games and it's just like Arizona popped out to me like I was fucking Sean Spencer on Psych. It's like Arizona. And I was like, oh, it's Jacoby. It's quarterback Jacoby Myers.
Yes, that's right. That would also have been a good episode title. It would have been third place on the rankings right now, but it would still be a pretty good one.
Yeah. Big Italian Dom is just running away with it.
It's good stuff, buddy. That's how you do it.
There are so many entendres in that. Like, it's entendres on entendres.
The triple entendre, folks.
Oh, man. We're bordering.
I'm quintupling my entendres. It's never been seen before.
I'm going long on entendres.
Long tendres.
Long tendres. It's a bull market on long tendres. Oh, my God. All right, Mike.
That is one of the stupidest sentences I've ever heard said. It's a bull market on long tendres. I'm tweeting that or blue skying it, whatever.
You're skeeting it.
I'm skeeting that.
Yeah.
And I'm putting it as a quote attributed to you. Perfect. What was it again exactly?
What did I say?
It's a bull market.
Yes, on long tendres.
On long tendres. It's a bull market on long. I'm gonna hyphenate it. Long tendres.
Yeah.
What an entendre. That's all E's. So long tendres.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to answer Mike's question of is Debo Samuel startable?
I think so. Yeah. He's the only one. But yeah.
Yeah. What's it called? Terry McLaurin's back. I would not trust that. With Marcus Mariota in his first game back, and Debo's getting a lot of manufactured touches. I'm going to recommend getting ahead of everybody realizing that Chris Rodriguez is the RB1 there, because this week he's probably not going to do anything, but like this is his last bad matchup for the rest of the year. So you could like get a free, like off the waiver wire right now. He's like 28% rostered starting running back down the stretch, just in case. Throw him at the end of your bench in case something bad happens. But like, I don't want to start Mariota. Zach Ertz is a perma start, and Debo is like a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't really disagree. I mean, I'm super low on the Washington running backs this week because Denver rocks on defense. So like Rodriguez, I have at 49, and that's the only one that's even in. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, yeah, I agree.
I have him in my streamers article this week that, and I'm basically like, do not start Chris Rodriguez. This is just a real, I need everybody to realize he is the RB1 there, and the matchups are good coming up. This is basically a beat the waiver wire sort of thing there. So it's like a stream that I'm like, don't play this guy this week, but go pick him up. Because it's Jayden Daniels might come back, and maybe that's dumb. Maybe you'll say, Dan Quinn, why are you doing this in a lost season? And he'll tell you to shut up and then wear his hat backwards. All right,
Where's that back? What should be doing then?
Marcus Mariota is a back end QB2, like QB20.
I'm not playing him in this matchup. Definitely not.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's understandable. All right, we all got Denver winning this one. All right, Monday Night Football, Giants, Patriots. Name me one time that the Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, huh? Name me two times. Okay, name me three times. Giants are 2-10. Patriots are 10-2. Jackson Dart is back, baby. Darius Slayton and Wan'Dale Robinson were limited this week, but are expected to play. Will Campbell went on IR, and Hunter Henry practiced in full. Mike wants to know over under 2.5 Jackson Dart touchdowns.
I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna say two.
One rushing, one passing.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I'll give him one rushing, one passing, and then who gets the rushing touchdown? The other rushing touchdown.
No one.
Theo Johnson jet sweep.
I'm gonna say no one. I'm gonna say the Giants score 20.
20. Okay.
Two touchdowns, two field goals.
And Patriots score 32.
I'm gonna say Patriots score 24.
Okay. Oh, wow. Much closer game.
Yeah, I do think this one's gonna be surprisingly close. I think the Patriots will win, but I think it's gonna be like a tight one for sure.
Me realizing, I'm like, why would Walker? I was doing the Brian Windhorst. Why would they do that? I was like, oh, Will Campbell's on IR.
Will Campbell on IR.
Left guard, whose name is escaping me, also probably not going to play. The one of the best defensive lines in football. So I think, yeah, it will be much closer than people think. You are correct, Walker. I agree. I concur. All right. I do not want to start either running back, but like Tyrone Tracy is a flex. Yeah.
Is yeah. I mean, Tracy, I have at 33. Like, that's barely a flex.
Yeah, I think that's just all volume, right? Just because he's going to get like
Yeah,
16
yeah,
touches.
yeah. Definitely. I mean, this offense is so much just Jackson Dart running and then Wan'Dale Robinson and Theo Johnson in the pass game.
Which both of those, all three
And
are
Isaiah
both.
Hodgins, weirdly, is like come back and been decent.
I think that's just because Slayton was banged up. I think they're going to split that stuff this week. I don't think you can start either of those guys.
No, I don't think you can start either of them. No.
But Wandale is weirdly must start now.
Yeah.
He has
No.
like a 30% target share
He's
over the
going
last like
crazy.
month.
Yeah, and he's like actually playing well too.
Yeah, it's not all just
No.
bullshit targets.
No, he's a pretty good player and he's got a huge role. So yeah, I think you got to play him until further notice.
He was me in my ideal Thanksgiving situation. I got a huge role, folks.
There we go.
It's massive. That's what we forgot. I had this nagging feeling. I couldn't. We were forgetting something at Thanksgiving yesterday. It was crescent rolls.
Oh,
I
okay.
had this. I had this like. It was great. It was awesome. All the food was great, you know. And I was like,
You just knew there was something wrong.
There's something missing. And I thought it was Hawaiian rolls, but we only get those for my niece, and she didn't come. So I'm like, okay, it's not Hawaiian rolls. I'm like, it's something. But yeah, it's fucking
We
crescent
have
rolls.
a okay, yeah. We do Hawaiian rolls.
Yeah. My niece will go through a whole package of them. She just sits there and slams them. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like dry or with butter?
Dry. Just raw dogs them.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah. Just throughout the day. She goes
Okay.
for those. My nephew, neither one of them came, but and my nephew, we get him Bundabergs. Because my sister doesn't allow them to have soda. Well, I guess he doesn't care so much anymore because he's like 22. He's an adult now. But that boy went hard on the Bundabergs every Thanksgiving.
Nice.
All right. Let's talk about the Patriots.
Will Stephon Diggs get back on track after his 2-for-20 game last week?
Are you ready? I did a lot of research on this, and I have a definitive answer for you.
Alrighty.
Ooh.
Oh.
Some games he runs like all the... Here, friend of the show, Heath Cummings, put it perfectly. Some games he runs all the routes, some games he runs like 45% of the routes. And unless you are in the Patriots organization, you don't know which one it's going to be.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. And I think I'm probably playing him because the Giants are pretty bad against receivers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand if you aren't confident. I can respect that entirely. But I do think with the bye week next week for both of these teams, I think that Diggs will probably play a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be clear here. Last week was kind of an aberration of like the four previous games. He had 105 yards the week before. He had scored touchdowns the three games before that. Like, he had been good for 4 weeks. He just didn't do well last week. So, I mean, I would go back to Stephon. He was my boom player last week because he'd been doing so well. And he just fell flat on his fucking face because that's what happens every time I make somebody a boom player for the starter sit show on Sunday mornings. So yeah, I would go back to Stephon Diggs this week.
Couldn't agree more, big dog.
Big dog. All right, we're starting Drake May. We talked about the running backs. Are we going back to Hunter Henry this week? Huge game last week.
No, I'm not going back to Hunter Henry.
I would not either. Last week was Cincinnati Bengals syndrome.
That's correct.
Hold on. Let's see who the Bengals play next week. Next week, the boom tight end will be Dalton Kincaid.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Dalton Kincaid, tight end one in the week.
Yep. All right. And that's it. We all have the Patriots winning. So this has been the Football Absurdity Podcast. We'll be back on Friday to talk 12. Today is Friday. We'll be back on Tuesday to talk 12 games and Thursday Night Football, which is... Do you know what Thursday Night Football is next week, Walker?
It's Lions Cowboys.
Yep. That's what I was waiting for. Hopefully a 70-point over-under. That's what we're going for, folks.
Oh, yeah. Lions 40, Cowboys 30. I'll take it.
How about this? Check this out. Lions 68, Cowboys 2. They get a safety.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
A safety on Hendon Hooker in the fourth quarter. Who is it?
Kyle Allen.
Brandon Allen? Josh Allen?
It's definitely not Josh Allen, I wish. But no, it's one of the many Allens that are backup quarterbacks.
This is my backup quarterback, Allen.
Allen. That's good stuff. Yeah. Mr. Allen.
Love it. Mr. Allen's. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care and have a good one.
See ya.